are ceremonies across the country today to honor the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but perhaps none were more poignant than the service held in his former hometown of Atlanta. At Ebenezer Baptist Church, a line of dignitaries and politicians honored King's legacy from the pulpit where he once preached. Though the pews were full, newly elected Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson could not help but remark on one notable absence.
It was side by side that they started the journey together, and when Dr. King was failed, she carried on for the family and for the movement, a stellar example of family values and strong womanhood.
Coretta Scott King died nearly a year ago at the age of 78. Across town, visitors lined up at the Atlanta History Center for a different experience this holiday, a look at Dr. King's personal papers. There were so many people in line that the center had to extend its hours.
We are thrilled and delighted by the number of people that have come by today on the very first day.
That's Michael Rose, the Atlanta History Center's executive director and co-curator of the King Papers exhibit. It includes index cards full of quotes, as well as sermons, and the first printing of King's letter from Birmingham jail, which he extensively revised.
He's gone through, and he's made numerous additions and deletions and corrections, and the printed page is filled with blue ink, where he's developing his idea and he's perfecting it. To me, that's probably the most dramatic example of him trying to find just the right idea and the right way to express what he wanted to say.
You also have a diary that Dr. King kept while he was in Georgia, where he talks about the personal and the psychological costs of being in jail. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
That was during the Albany movement in South Georgia. He kept a diary for a couple of days while he was in jail. He talks very personally about the effect of imprisonment. It's the psychological impact and the dehumanization of someone who is kept captive. He also talks about the importance of family, his affection and love for Mrs. King, who came to visit him, and his children. It's very interesting, and that's one of the things that I think that people will take away from this exhibition, is it's difficult for us, these years later, following his death, to see him as a man, and you see him as an icon of the movement, a symbol of freedom and social justice. It's hard to get past all of that, and there are instances in this exhibit where I think people will see that. And one of those is this diary that he kept in the Albany jail. It was not meant as a speech to be given. It was not meant, like the letter from Birmingham jail, it was not meant to be something that would be published. It was very private and very personal.
That's Michael Rose of the Atlanta History Center. Commentator Bob Green has firsthand memories of Martin Luther King, the man, thanks to a chance meeting more than 40 years ago.
The hotel, the Beau Rivage, I believe it was called, was on Collins Avenue in Miami Beach. This was in the spring of 1965. I was with my friend Gary Herwald. We and a bunch of high school buddies had come down from the north for our last spring vacation. It wasn't yet called spring break. Before going off to college, Gary and I were standing in a little shopping concourse of the hotel, just wandering around. There was a man looking into the window of one of the stores. Among all the people in casual resort wear, he was the only person wearing a business suit. He also was the only African American. Gary said to me, "Is that who I think it is?" I said I thought so. And so we walked over. Gary was the one who worked up the nerve to ask him, "Excuse me, sir, are you Martin Luther King?" And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that yes, he was. He wasn't that hard to spot. He was coming off a pretty good year. He had started 1964 on the cover of Time magazine as its Man of the Year. He had ended 1964 by being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. On this day in the Florida Hotel, he was 36 years old. He was alone. Gary and I were the only people to approach him. Gary said, "I just want to tell you how much we admire you." Dr. King, smiling and making a small joke, said, "You boys aren't from Florida, are you?" We talked for a few minutes, nothing earth-shattering, and there was no way to know, of course, that three springs later he would be dead, or that today, in a new century in a transformed country, the nation would be pausing on the anniversary of his birth to commemorate an annual federal holiday in his name. I don't know why Dr. King was in Florida that night, why he was window shopping by himself in the hotel concourse. Maybe he was just killing time, waiting for an appointment or a meeting. Everyone has to be somewhere. The memory of it warms me, and as a reminder, the people who change the world, who make it better forever, who take a stand for right and stick to it, walk among us every day, because they are us, or at least they started out that way. And we, if we try, can be them, at least in our better hours. "Are you Martin Luther King?" Gary asked. "Yes," he said, "I am."
Bob Green is the author of And You Know You Should Be Glad, A True Story of Lifelong Friendship. And one final note, it is sadly ironic that this U.S. holiday, set aside to honor a man of peace, was punctuated, some might say pierced, by the news that Saddam Hussein's half-brother and a top aide were hanged before dawn in Baghdad. That's the news we woke up to shortly after dawn in my household. That followed by the question from my son, "Mommy, what's a decapitation?" Man, that was not the conversation I wanted to have, not on this day when my kids, now 6 and 7, were finally old enough to understand that Martin Luther King was not just an excuse to miss a day of school or take advantage of a day of sales at the mall. He was a man who set aside his personal safety to set our country on a better course. We eventually got to that lesson that an individual can change the world by fighting peacefully for their dream. Martin Luther King's widow, Coretta Scott King, said she wanted her husband's holiday to be a time for service and a yearly reminder of the principles he held dear. So, in a world that is so often jarred by violence, we wanted to leave you with this. Dr. King, in his own words.
"This I believe to be the privilege and the burden of all of us who deem ourselves bound by allegiances and loyalties which are broader and deeper than nationalism, and which go beyond our nation's self-defined goals and positions. We are called to speak for the weak, for the voiceless, for the victims of our nation, and for those it calls enemy. For no document from human hands can make these humans any less our brothers."
That's Martin Luther King Jr. speaking at Riverside Church in New York City in 1967. If he were alive, he would be 78 years old today. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.